From the Land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 26th day of November 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. We'll hear about the hog market and what the potential possibilities for it to pick up some numbers as the price of corn has dropped on feed inputs and what that will mean for the marketplace in the coming year. And then we'll discuss what's been happening in the world of agriculture. Weather with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Along the way, we'll hear the final installment of the weekly crop progress reports from the state statisticians, and we'll talk with Dan O'Brien. He's at K-State University about the ethanol industry. And it all happens right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Support comes from Country Financial. Country Financial is hosting farm information sessions throughout Illinois from December to March. Topics include updates to the federal crop insurance program, the Farm Bill, and how to use grain marketing and crop insurance together to manage risk. Registration information is on their crop update website at countrycrop.com/update.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report for Tuesday afternoon as we head into the Thanksgiving holiday. Futures finished in Chicago at the CME Group like this. Nearby December soft red winter wheat at 646.5. That was down 6. The July futures at 657.25. A settlement price down 4.25. Hard red July at 689.25. 3.75 lower. December corn futures down 6.25 at $4.18.5 a bushel. March futures 424.75 down 6.5. The May contract at 432.75 down 6.5 cents as well. July 6.25 lower at $4.40 even. And December futures of next year, the harvest month for 2014 in the corn pit at $4.46.25. 5.5 cents lower. January beans at $13.29.25 finished unchanged. March futures were down 2.75 at $13.12. May contract in the bean pit at $12.92.75, 3.25 lower. July at $12.84.75 down 3.5 cents. And November beans of next year down a nickel at $11.56.25. December bean meal, $450.20, $13 higher. December bean oil at $40.35, 31 cents lower. Live cattle futures finished the nearby contract at $131.95. That's the December, up 87.5 cents. February at $133, 2.5. That's $1.10 higher. January feeder cattle at $164.37.5, up $1.57.5. And the March contract $1.50 higher at $164.30 in the feeder cattle. Lean hogs December futures $85.62.5, 2.5 cents higher. And the February, $90.40 per 100 pounds, 60 cents higher on the day. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the day. January contract, $93.79 a barrel, down 30 cents. Gasoline in the wholesale price, or RBOB, at $2.69 even. That's a 9-tenths of a cent higher. And the ethanol futures at $1.92.5, down 3.4 cents for the day. The spread between the two at 76.5 cents wide is 4.3 cents of a cent wider than it was yesterday. And natural gas now trading at $3.81.8 of a cent, up 2.9 cents. Diesel fuel, or New York Harbor ultra low sulfur diesel, at $3.04.4 of a cent, a penny and 2 cents higher. And gold futures at $1,241.40. An ounce. A settlement price there up 20 cents for the day. U.S. dollar trading at 80.61. That's down 0.3 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like. As it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this evening, a chance of flurries before midnight. Mostly cloudy and a low of just 18 degrees tonight. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny skies, a high of 28. Wind chill values between 3 and 13 during the day tomorrow. Blustery with a northwest wind at 14 to 20 miles an hour, with gust all the way to 26 miles an hour. Tonight and tomorrow, by the way, the wind chill values will be the same at 3 to 13 degrees, so it's going to stay that way for a long time. Wednesday evening, partly cloudy and a low of 17. 6 to 11 for the winds out of the northwest, and then on Thanksgiving, mostly sunny skies, a high of 34, south-southwest winds at 6 to 13 for Thursday afternoon, a gust as high as 16, partly cloudy on Thursday evening and 21, and Friday, mostly sunny skies and 38. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast. At the bottom of the half hour, we'll talk with Don Day at Day Weather. He is in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension. Agricultural market reports on WILL are made possible with support from Busey. Small business is the next big business. So Busey offers solutions to fit growing business needs, from customizable lending options to succession planning. Busey, your dream, our promise.
On this Tuesday afternoon, the 26th day of November 2013, let's check the cash grain and futures markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Happy Thanksgiving to you, Wayne.
And to all you and all the listeners.
Holiday weeks usually bring doldrums along with them. Traders go home early and people turn their attention other places. Has that happened yet this week?
Well, you know, it looked like there was maybe some exiting doing that today, but yet we saw quite a bounce back in the beans after the announcement of the cancellation of the bean sales to China. While we dipped on down, and then later in the day, the bean meal brought it roaring back to unchanged. That December bean meal closing up $13 today.
Yeah, so in the beans nearby January futures, what they had about a 14-cent trading range, March in the same place.
Yeah.
But they bounced back up from that bottom end, so that's a pretty good, nice little rally. It shows you that soybeans have strength. Does it give you hope for that marketplace?
Well, I would have to say that it somewhat does. I mean, of course, we know that the Dees, of course, being much different than any other months of meal, probably because of some of the shorts having to get out here before or wanting to get out before delivery, first notice day, on Friday, and going along the way that way. But it does give you a feeling that there is some strength in the bean market yet, that crushers are still very much in the market. And, of course, our exports, even though we did have the one cancellation of sales, are running way, way, way ahead of expectations so far this year.
For comparison's sake, the December soybean meal at $450.20 was up $13. The January just $3.50 higher. You noted the difference between those two. It finished at $431.90. Is there somebody on the wrong side of the December meal, or are they just exiting, as you mentioned, in order to get out of the way for deliveries?
Well, I mean, they felt like they were on the wrong side because they paid quite handsomely to get out of that position. So they're feeling that there is a little bit of a pinch there, that's for sure. Also, I think the oats had a day a lot like that, too. So, we've seen some buying in the oats, but not dear to the extent of what we did in the bean meal.
As you look forward into the end of the year for corn and soybeans, do you see any major moves in the offing between now and December 31st?
I think we could see, seasonally we generally see a rally the day after Thanksgiving. We generally see a pop-up. We always joke around that the Bears have turkey for Thanksgiving and the Bulls get to have ham and turkey at Christmas. So, along the way, I think that we're in a trading range here, and unless we see some news that we haven't foreseen as of right now, the good weather in South America, unless that would change to where it's going, that the dollar, everything doesn't change a lot. I think that, we're going to get into January before we get into the real budget problems with the government and stuff like that. So I think we're caught in a trading range here in both corn and beans till the end of the year.
A producer that is not looking at a tax problem if they sell more commodity this year, should they be thinking about selling on a bit of a rally between now and December, or would you hold off?
Well, we've seen both sides of that. We saw some pricing by some of the advisory firms yesterday in the beans, and in today we saw another one of the large advisory firms take off his December hedges and price the corn, saying that he didn't see any reason to do anything better because of the basis level being quite as strong as it is this early in the year. And they were just going to stay out of the market and get out of it on some that way. But they were banking some very large hedge profits along with that to do that. But I think, if you don't have tax problems, we're looking at these are some very strong basis levels in here. Now, if you want to even just sell just a basis contract and all it in your elevator, that might not be an all bad way to go, because down the road, as the bin doors start opening after the first of the year, I doubt we'll see the basis levels we're seeing now.
Wayne, thank you so much for taking the time with us.
Thanks, John.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities. He is in New Market, Indiana, and joins us here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. You can always find him again on our website, where? At willag.org. That's willag.org.
Agricultural market reports on WILL are made possible with support from Busey. Small business is the next big business. So Busey offers solutions to fit growing business needs, from customizable lending options to succession planning. Busey, your dream, our promise.
The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media, located on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Yesterday afternoon, USDA NASS released one of the final crop progress reports of the year. It shows that as of Sunday, 95% of the corn crop around the nation had been harvested. That compares to the rolling five-year average of 91%. 93% of the winter wheat crop has emerged, compared to 89%. It's said to be in 62% good to excellent condition. Last week, that number was 63% good to excellent. Harvest of the soybean crop is considered complete, and numbers were not released this week. Now here are the statisticians with updates from their regions.
This is Katie Andel, agricultural statistician for the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office. Iowa's corn harvest was nearing completion at 94% harvested, 4 percentage points ahead of normal. Webster City recorded the lowest temperature Sunday morning of negative 3 degrees. Wednesday brought showers and thunderstorms in the southeast one half of Iowa. From Thursday evening to Friday morning, light rain and freezing rain, turning into snow, fell, with the most snowfall occurring in west central Iowa. Statewide, average precipitation for the week was 0.37 inches, only 0.07 less than the normal amount. Improved topsoil and subsoil moisture levels rated 69 and 45% adequate to surplus, respectively, and 48% of Iowa's pasture land was rated fair or better, while hay supplies across the state were rated 83% adequate to surplus. This is Katie Andel reporting from the USDA NASS Iowa Field Office.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois, with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Temperatures were well below normal last week, and precipitation was slightly above the norm last week in Illinois. Corn harvest inched up to 98% complete, compared to 100% 1 year ago and 92% for the five-year average. Sorghum harvest reached 98% complete as well, compared to 100% last year and 94% normally. The winter wheat crop is now 99% emerged, compared to 93% 1 year ago and 91% normally. The condition of the crop was rated as follows. 1% of acres are in poor condition, 24% are fair, 65% are good, and 10% are in excellent condition. Since harvest is nearly complete, this will be the last weekly crop progress and condition bulletin for the year. NASS will continue with monthly crop progress publications throughout the winter until April of next year, when weekly publications resume. I would like to thank all of the people that reported to us throughout the growing season. These reports are important to the agricultural community, and they are only possible with your support.
This is Kiff Hurlbut with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending November 24, 2013. Fall harvest is mostly complete, with small patches of corn and soybeans remaining. 96% of the corn acreage has been harvested, compared to 100% last year and 93% for the five-year average. Moisture content of harvested corn is averaging about 18%. 96% of the winter wheat acreage has emerged, compared to 96% last year and 90% for the five-year average. 77% of the winter wheat acreage is in good to excellent condition. That concludes this week's Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week and for the season. This is Kiff Hurlbut reporting.
Our thanks to the state statisticians for their work during the growing season to keep us up to date on crop progress in their regions. Now up next, the price of corn is dropping, and that means the price of feed, it's getting cheaper. As you'll hear, it's all part of a rebalancing taking place in the agricultural commodities. U.S. farmers in the middle of the last decade were asked by Congress to provide enough corn to feed and fuel the nation. They responded by investing in and building ethanol plants and ramping up corn production. Farmers met the congressional challenge, and they've been rewarded. Livestock producers played their part, too. It was not easy and often economically painful. Now, as you'll hear from Purdue Extension Ag economist Chris Hurt, balance is being restored to the marketplace, with livestock set to play a bigger role.
In a broader perspective, after many years of very high and often very volatile feed prices, I think the future appears somewhat brighter for all of the animal species. with feed prices overall moderating in coming years. Now, with moderation of the feed prices, we probably will see some less volatility as well. The pork industry is well positioned to take advantage of several years of favorable consumer expansion that's going to be driven by improving domestic consumption as well as foreign demand. The hog industry expansion will not be large enough, unfortunately, to return corn prices to their previous lofty levels. But when we consider all of the animal industries, it's going to be a period of growing feed use base for the corn growers. Thus, it's anticipated that in coming years there will be a better balance between the crop production sector in the United States and the animal production sector. Assuming ethanol use is relatively level in the future, this means that corn farmers have achieved one of the very big goals that they were asked, and that is to provide sufficient production for both food production and fuel production.
That's Purdue Extension Ag Economist Chris Hurt commenting on the end of the ethanol boom for corn and rebalancing of the market with corn for feed playing a greater role. We'll have his projections tomorrow for the price of hogs in the future.
Support comes from Global Commodity Analytics, now taking reservations for upcoming seminars in Illinois and Indiana. December 2nd in Lafayette, Indiana and Monticello, Illinois, and December 3rd in Jacksonville. Meals provided, reservations required, seating is limited. Contact Mike Zuzulo at 866-471-2588.
This is the Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Let's continue our theme of rebalancing the marketplace and domestic usage and export demand for corn. On the phone line with us from Kansas State University is K-State Extension Agricultural Economist Dan O'Brien. Dan, thanks for taking the time with us today.
Yes, Todd.
Well, you and I have some questions that we want to go through as it relates to ethanol, the brand new RFS, at least the proposed changes from U.S. EPA, which I suppose are quite likely to be put in place and then challenged later, and what they might mean for the mix of usage for marketing year 2013 and 14. That's the current year. So let's start with this question. How is it you think that U.S. corn exports might respond to lower corn prices this year?
Well, generally positively. I think having having more corn available and having foreign users in less of a situation where they have to rely on alternatives such as wheat or other grains to as a substitute for hard to obtain corn, I think overall we'll probably see a pretty strong response. And of course, the USDA has already projected in their numbers almost a doubling of corn exports from 735, I believe, up to 735 million up to 1.4 billion, and really that's a projection out there. And as you well know, Todd, when we try to project that far out, we're making assumptions about the size of crops in the U.S. and in South America in particular, and the strength of demand. But overall, that we're very confident that we'll see increased exports, and I think the early pace here in this marketing year has been just that. You know, we have seen pretty good interest in U.S. Purchases and in forward sales. So I think that will be a positive issue for the market, and really kind of comes back to the theme of whether we when we look at the impact of this RFS change, do we take a calculator and figure out, well, here's X less a billion gallons used. We know about how much corn will come in is needed to produce that, and will that be our reduction in use? I don't think so. I think there'll be some positive response back as there. I think these other uses will find more room and less crowding out in the marketplace to find their usage amount.
The most obvious place, and Purdue's Chris Hurt just talked a little bit about it, is livestock, potentially with greater feed usage of corn. Chris mentioned the idea that the hog market, the hog numbers might expand, although he didn't talk very much, if at all, if I remember in that piece, about expanded use for corn for feed and how to lay that off against DDGs and and whether it really meant greater use for corn or just in general or just greater use for corn rather than DDGs. What do you think?
Well, I think, first of all, Chris is one of the best minds that we have in the business on the livestock side, coming from university side. I would sure respect what he'd say. I think when you taking what Chris had said with regard to the impetus towards probably growth and in numbers and of necessity corn feed usage to support those numbers, I think the question will come into play on the other major species. You know, here in our part of the world, we've seen such a sell-off of the cow herd because of drought issues in the Western Plains. It's hard for us to imagine from our perspective. And again, it's easy to be blinded by what's local, but you'd wonder about the need for the U.S. cow herd to rebuild and find before we find ourselves in a position where we'd see an extreme response in terms of feed use. I think it would be more muffled than that as we take care of our biological breeding herd. I would think though, if at first for a slow perhaps has slowed down or at least cautious we are in talking about what could happen on the beef side. On the poultry side, of course, we've got a shorter biological clock. We can turn things over more quickly, and I guess at least from our perspective here and out in the plains, looking towards the poultry, strong poultry industries and towards the east of us, it would seem we'd be able to respond pretty quickly to low-priced corn and other feedstuffs and be able to go forward pretty quickly to try to use up supplies of corn in that manner.
Can we skip forward to your gut feel on U.S. corn and sorghum usage prices for the new crop for 2013-14? You're in an area where sorghum would be much more available than here, but we do have some sorghum in the southern and southwestern part of the state of Illinois, of course.
I think that we'll see a response response in usage from either livestock on the one hand and or exports on the other that will offset at least some of the loss in the potential loss. Again, it's going to probably the final question isn't answered, but very possible that we'll see. You know, again, is it a 50% recovery of usage from what would have happened if the RFS would have been in unadjusted, or is it more than that? I think the direction's pretty easy to see in terms of we'll have some offsetting gains in other types of usage, but the amount is still unknown. And really will depend a lot on what happens with the Argentine and Brazilian corn crop.
So 1 minute left. Quickly, does that mean that you see ending stocks smaller than what USDA is currently projected with the offset eating up some extra, or is it just an offset and USDA's numbers are, however you slice them up, they come up to the right amount?
I think there would probably be a tendency with lower prices maybe to use more grain than the USDA is anticipating right now, a little lower stocks. And we'll be relying on more elastic demand and little lower prices. I mean, we can talk about that sometime in the future.
All right. Hey, thank you so much.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Dan O'Brien. He's with K-State Extension in Kansas and joins us here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'll be back in a couple of minutes. We'll talk with Don Day. He's at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
It's National Cake Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1836, John McAdam died. He invented McAdam pavement for roads. And by the way, the macadamia nut was also named for him. In 1867, J.B. Sutherland patented the refrigerated railroad car. The first cars had double walls, roof, and floor, and the space between was filled with sawdust, felt, or other suitable materials. Ice changers at each end of the car carried about 800 pounds of ice, and hanging flaps were designed to maintain air circulation. In 1876, Willis Carrier was born, an American inventor. He created air conditioning. and his rational psychometric formula is still essential to this day for air conditioning engineers. His first system control temperature and humidity in a Brooklyn printing plant. And in 1915, W. Attlee Burpee died, an American seed man. He was the founder of the world's largest mail order seed company in 1876. Just 18 years old, Burpee started his company in Philadelphia with a passion of plants and a mother willing to lend him $1,000. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Listening to Illinois Public Media on this Tuesday afternoon. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Have you visited our website recently to check out our weekly outlooks and what's been happening in the world of the marketplace? You can do that at willag.org. That's willag.org. We post some news there. All of our agricultural programming is there, and so is our list of calendar of events over on the right-hand side of the page. Look at the Outlook marketing schedule, and you'll find not only our Ag Outlook marketing schedule, but you'll find the Farm Doc meetings and the Corn and Soybean Classic Series, the Ag Masters, all sponsored by University of Illinois Extension. Ways to register for those and ways to register for some of our Ag Outlook panels. You'll need to check them out. They start December the 10th for the Ag Outlook panels. That's in Mount Vernon at the Farm Credit Services building there. And you will want to register because there's a meal involved with that one. And then we're in Sikeston the following day, Missouri. And there's some registration for that one, too. That one's sponsored by University of Missouri Extension.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Tuesday afternoon. Don Day with Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming, is on the phone line. Brr, it's cold.
It's going to be cold, and I tell you, there's a lot more coming. The system that's making it cold right now across the Midwest is making fast tracks, but as we look ahead beyond this Thanksgiving Day holiday period and into next week, especially mid to late next week, another big push of cold air is moving on in. So here we are heading into the end of November and early December, and it's looking, well, quite honestly, Todd, a lot like winter here very soon.
It feels a lot more like January than it does December, I have to admit. But the idea that we get cold temperatures, even in late November, happens occasionally, although these are pretty deep cold for this time of year, I would think.
Yeah, especially if we were to go back and go to this time last year. November of last year across most of the country was very warm compared to normal, and December started that way. This year, we're going to do a 180. All indications suggest that the first week to 10 days of December for most of the country will be colder than normal, with some possible real severe cold in the Dakotas, those far northern plain states, once we get into late next week. And we're not going to be alone. We'll also see some cold heading into Central and Eastern Europe as well.
Does that mean the last 2 days of November are going to be cold as well? Because I was kind of hoping to put my Christmas lights up.
I'll see what I can do.
Oh, dang.
Now, those 2 days are days right before the next real cold comes on in.
Oh, well, in that case, I better hustle up no matter what the temp is, I suppose. So we'll get them out and get them in place. What do you see in South America?
Well, they're looking at a temperature forecast over the next week that's going to see temperatures close to normal, maybe just a hair below, and precipitation for Brazil looks good. There's going to be some decent amounts in terms of decent chances of rain over many of the key growing areas of Argentina. South America's forecast for the next week to 10 days looks good.
All right. Thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's Don Day with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and service geared specifically to the agricultural community.